confession to make. I'm at that stage in my life where I have a little flash every now and then. So I have to have some cold water. Give me the ice water and nobody gets hurt. Hey, you guys look good out there. It's really good to be here today. It's good to be together again after all that fun that we had at the women's retreat. Was that not cool? You guys really know how to do it here. I'm going to be prayerfully lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ today. And he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And that's my heart's prayer, that men are drawn to Jesus Christ. I'm going to be sharing my testimony. I am the middle child of seven. Do we have any middles here? So you know about the middle child. Well, I wasn't the oldest, but I'd like to believe that I was the most adventurous, okay? Because I was the first one to leave home and come here to California. I was very young when I came here. I told my dad I was coming here to go to school, but I was coming to have fun, you know, and I had fun. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was very, very lost, but I didn't know I was very, very lost. But before I share this with you, I want to tell you about something else. Another time that I was very, very lost, but I knew that I was very, very lost. When I came here, I left my car in Arizona because I knew that I did not know how to drive here in Los Angeles. I was petrified of the freeway. In Arizona, we had one freeway, and it was kind of like a new freeway. And you could go from the beginning of the freeway to the end of the freeway in about 5 minutes, okay? So that was our freeway. So I left my car there, and I just got the bus to go to school, got the bus to go to work and any place else I had to go. Okay, so I have a cousin who is a year younger than I am, and she decided she wanted to follow me over here too. But she insisted that we had to have her car. So I flew home, and I drove her car here. And it was kind of easy. You just get on the 10, you know, and follow the signs to Los Angeles. We were cool until we got in Blythe. We got caught in a sandstorm in Blythe. And these two very young girls stranded in the middle of the desert, okay, and the sun is starting to set. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? And she's looking at me because I'm 1 year older. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know. So like after a couple of hours, we're starting to panic. What in the world are we going to do? So I said, okay, this is the plan. The next car that comes along with a man and a woman and some children in there, I'm going to get out and I'm going to flag him down and see if he can help. I mean, that's safe. He's got kids, you know. So I did that and someone did stop. And he said, I don't know anything about cars, but what I'm going to do is go to the next town, and I'm going to send the highway patrol back for you. I said, okay, cool, that'll work. So he did that, and the guy came and helped us, and we were on our way. When we got to Los Angeles, we put that car in the garage, and that was it. On the bus, on the bus to go to work, on the bus to go to school. Okay, but knowing that that car was in the garage was a big temptation for me. I mean, I'm getting the bus, and the car's in the garage. So I said one day, hey, I have a girlfriend who lives very close to this. You know, I kind of want to show off, too. I said, why don't we go visit her? My cousin says, do you know how to get there? I said, I kind of think I do. She said, no, I don't want to go. It was like, she wasn't convinced, okay? So I said, okay, well, tell you what, I'm going to be right back. So I get in the car, and I'm driving up Century Boulevard and kind of looking for a street that looks like my girlfriend's street. And the next thing I know, I'm headed up the ramp on the Harbor Freeway. I was like, how did this happen? Oh, Lord, I'm talking to myself. Beverly, get off the freeway. You do not know how to drive on the freeway. Get off the freeway. But every time I tried to get off the freeway, it was like cars were just zipping by me, you know. And I just panicked. And I'm like this, just driving, just going and going in my lane, you know. And telling myself, get off the freeway. I don't know how to get off the freeway. I don't even want to tell you how long I drove. I don't even want to tell you how late it was, okay? But by the time I got off the freeway, there was nobody on the freeway but me. No, really. So I get off the freeway, and it's pitch black dark. And I'm like, where am I? Like in the middle of broccoli fields or something, okay? So I say, okay, I see a light in the distance, way in the distance. I say, hey, drive to the light. Just drive to the light. So I'm going to the light, and I get there, and it's one of those one pump gas stations, you know, one pump. The guy comes out and puts the gas in the car, so I get some gas, and I'm very young, okay, trying to be brave. And I said in my very adult voice, sir, could you tell me how to get to Century and Western? And he's like, where? I said he didn't understand me. So I said, Western Avenue and Century Boulevard. He said, where is that? I said, okay, how about the Los Angeles Airport? Oh, the Los Angeles Airport. Okay, yeah, I know. I can tell you how to get there. So he proceeds to rattle off about 7 or 8 freeways. And I said, no, sir, could you tell me how to get there without getting on the freeway? He said, girl, you cannot get there without getting on the freeway. So he says it again, all these freeways, you get on the this and the 20 and the that. And I was like, oh, Lord. So I was almost in tears. And I just sucked those tears up, and I drove off. And I threw up one of those Hail Mary prayers. God, now mind you, I'm not a Christian. God, if you get me out of this situation, I'll do everything you ever asked me for the rest of my life. I'm so thankful that God didn't take me up on that, but I did make it back home that night. My cousin was already in bed, and she knows me, the stuff I get myself into. So she just lifted up her, she said, are you all right? I said, yeah. She went to sleep. I didn't even talk. It was so late at night. I didn't even tell her about all that I had went through. But, you know, in real life, I was kind of trying to find my way, and I was on the wrong path, and I didn't know how to get off either. Okay, fun had stopped being fun, and my life was getting a little bit messy, okay? And about this time, I met a young lady at work named Alice. Now, I didn't know that Alice was a Christian, okay? I just knew that there was something about her that I liked. She was comfortable to be around, comfortable to talk to, okay? So Alice and I get into a conversation one day about hell. I thought, oh, this is kind of intriguing, you know, and I asked a few questions. Now, I didn't think she thought I was going to hell, you know, but it was like all my life people said, oh, you're such a kind person. You're such a nice person. So I knew that girls that were kind and nice, or I thought, that they don't go to hell, okay? But Alice decided that she wanted to take me to a Bible bookstore. Never been in a Bible bookstore in my life, okay? She wanted to give me a gift, a Bible as a gift. So while she's getting the Bible, I'm just kind of browsing through the store, and there's like Christian music and Christian books and, you know, the Bibles and all of this. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. I saw this little tract. So I'm like, oh, it says something on there about believing and receiving, you know. Now, I don't think Alice had ever said that to me. But I said, so 10 cents, I bought it and dropped it in my purse. So Alice gets the Bible, and she comes and she presents the Bible to me. And she says, you should start reading in the Gospel of John, okay? She's very emphatic about it. Read it. And so I said, okay. So I go home, and I open the Bible, and I start reading the Gospel of John. I don't think I got past verse 11, and the Bible started reading me. The Bible started telling me about myself, not in an audible voice, but I heard it loud and clear. I read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the Bible said, you received him not. I'm like, What? I didn't know what it meant, but it didn't sound good, okay? So I remembered that track said something about believing and receiving, you know? So I said, let me go get that thing and read that thing. I started reading, and I have to say that this was November the 6th, 1972. I discovered some very bad news that day. I discovered that God is righteous, and I am not. As kind as I was and as nice as I wasn't righteous. I discovered it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And one day I will stand before a holy and a just God, and he is going to judge me on the basis of my righteousness, okay? But the tract said, I didn't have any righteousness. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned. And the bad news kept getting badder. It's like, for the wages of sin is death. You know, that I'm going to, well, everybody's going to die, so what kind of death is this, you know? And explain that it was a separation from God. You're going someplace where God is not, you know? That didn't sound very good. But praise be to God. I also discovered some good news that day. Jesus, God the Son, came and lived a life of perfect righteousness and did for me what I could not do for myself. Jesus offered himself as a perfect sacrifice to satisfy the justice and the righteousness of God. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Acts 4:12 says there is salvation in none other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So the track said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth, Jesus says, Lord, you will be saved. So for the life of me, I could not think of any reason why I did not want my sins forgiven, and I sure couldn't think of any reason why I wanted to go to hell, you know? So at the back of the track, there was a prayer, and I prayed it. Boy, did I pray. I think I prayed it about three times. I want to be sure, you know? But I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I confessed that I was a sinner, you know, and I accepted him as Lord and Savior of my life. And then I went back to reading the Gospel of John, right where I left off. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Now, how cool is that, you know? My life after that took on a whole new direction. Okay, first of all, I found out that Alice and her husband were new Christians. And I thought, you know, later on, I thought, no, that's cool. Because they didn't know too much more about the Bible than I did. And they were able to share with me as brand new Christians. Okay, I also found out that they went to church every Sunday. You know, so I agreed to go with them one Sunday. So they picked me up. Now, they drove all the way from Palos Verdes to the valley. And I'm like, why would somebody go that far to go to church? We're passing all these nice churches along the way, you know. But you know what? That was my introduction into a Bible teaching church. And I sit on the edge of my seat for many years after that, just listening and learning so much about the Bible that I had never heard before. About a week later, I went back to the Bible bookstore. And I wanted a book on how to live the Christian life. Okay, I'm a Christian now what do I do, you know? And I found this book that emphasized making Jesus the Lord of your life, you know, lining up everything in your life with the scripture. So I set out to do that. I was in church every Sunday. I'm studying the Bible. I'm memorizing scriptures. I'm fellowshipping and just trying to get my life together. Not that, you know, I had a lot of things that I had to change in my life. You know, maybe just a little bit like that. But after months of going to church and studying the Bible and praying, my life did begin to change. My heart began to change. And there were two things that I noticed. One was fear. I grew up not really afraid of everything, but there were a few things that I was afraid of, and I just was never able to get a handle on it, you know? And I noticed that fear began to dissipate. And also, I began to have developed this love for people, you know, and started just kind of, you know, branching out, making friends, and trying to share the gospel with people. And I realized that the more I loved others, the less afraid I was. So I said, hey, this is cool. This is cool. You know, I like that. Connect. So I said, whoever gets in my way, they're getting loved. You know. But these changes did not go unnoticed by my friends and my coworkers, but especially my family in Arizona. When I called my mom and told her that I had become a Christian, now, mind you, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not have any Christian friends, and neither did anyone in my family. So I called my mom and told her I had become a Christian and kind of tried as best I could to explain it. My mom jumped on a plane and flew to Los Angeles like that. And I was, so she came and we talked and best I could, you know, I explained it to her. So she said, well, look, just don't go too far with all these life changes and don't get too religious, you know. And then she went back. So she goes back home and she explains to everybody that I had not lost my mind, that I was probably just going through a phase and, you know, that it would, you know, it would just work its way out. So the next person who came to check on me, they were like just lining up. Let's go see what's, was my niece, Vanessa, and my baby sister, Andrea. They were on summer break at the time, so they flew over to see what's going on with Beverly. I shared, you know, the gospel with them and spent some time with them in the Word. I knew I was going to be sharing this with you today, so I called my sister, Andrea, and I said, can you give me like a little excerpt from your, you know, what happened when you were with me that summer so I can share that? And she did. So I want you to hear in her words what happened. She said, my mom was sent to check on my sister Beverly, who was suspected of being in a cult. And I was just going to church. She said, Mom said she was just going through a phase and it might be good for her. That summer, and she puts the date, August the 19th, 1973, she was sharing her testimony with Vanessa, and as she spoke of the reality of hell, it became clear to her that God was on one side of a great gulf and she was on the other side, she said, because of my sin. And Jesus was the bridge to get to God. So she says, also, she spoke of having a relationship with God, not just practicing religion. She said, I wanted that. While she led Vanessa in prayer, I had my own silent prayer. And I didn't even know this was going on with my sister, okay? She's praying, and I'm leading somebody else to the Lord. She said, I had my own silent prayer. If there is a minute chance that you would listen to me and an even more minute chance that you would come into my heart, I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior. Sorry. And that's when my sister got saved. Pray for me. Okay, so I'm at home on vacation the same summer, and I stayed with my older sister, Jacqueline, and I shared my testimony with her. She said, that is so nice. I'm so happy for you. But girl, I do not need that in my life, you know. But before I left, I gave her a Bible, and I came back to Los Angeles, so I asked my sister, could you send me a little excerpt what happened after I left the Bible with you? So she emailed me this. These are her words. She said, I thought a lot about what Beverly said to me at work one day, and I got very weepy. It was all I could do not to cry. I told myself that if I still felt this way when I got home, I was going to read the Bible as she left. When I got home, the feeling was still there. So I got the Bible out, and when I opened it, it opened to the exact page of the story about the Samaritan woman and how God knew all about her sin. She said, I suddenly realized that he knew all about my sin too. She said, and I prayed, I don't know why you would want someone like me, but if you do, I want you to come into my heart. And that was my older sister. My baby sister saved, and my older sister saved. Another visit, I go back, and I'm sharing my testimony with my sister, Rosalyn. She said about the same thing that Jackie said, oh, I do not need this in my life. You know, that's for weak people, you know. But I just continued to pray for her. And she emailed me her own words. Now, this is my brainiac sister, okay? She has two master's degrees. She said, the day I received my first master's degree, I realized that though I had several accomplishments, my life was not really very different on the inside. One of the students in the graduate program lived out her faith in front of me. Says, no Bible thumping, just walk the talk. This caught my eye. So one day I spoke at home, just out to the air, she says, that if God is really real, would he reveal himself to me? Further, I said, I'm going to read the Bible from front to back. And if he offered no more than I'd already experienced, I would do life on my own without him. So she says, well, thank goodness he did not listen to me. About 2 months into her Bible reading, she accepted the Lord. Okay, so now I have three sisters that are saved, and we're praying for our parents and for our brothers, you know. And we just had this bond, you know, that we could pray together. We're sisters of God. We're sisters in the Lord, which was so cool. Well, I lost a sister, Patricia, to illness. But before she died, I had an opportunity to share Christ with her when she came on a visit. So now these are my words about my sister, Patricia. So my mom comes back for another visit. I mean, we're just tearing up those airways, you know, and she brings my sister, Patricia, with her. Patricia and I were a year apart, and growing up, she was always a little protective of me. She didn't really like Los Angeles, and she rarely came, but for some reason, she decided to accompany our mom to check up on me again. One night, the three of us are in the car returning home from a visit with a relative, and I'm trying to talk to my mom again about the gospel, and I'm not having a lot of success because my mom keeps interrupting me, you know, telling me what she knows about the Bible, but she really didn't know anything about the Bible. So my sister, Patricia, who's sitting in the back seat, very emphatically says to my mom, please stop interrupting her. And it dawned on me that my sister wanted to hear the gospel. So I kept talking to my mom, but I was really saying it for the benefit of my sister. And later that year, my sister Patricia did pray to receive the Lord. Now, I have two brothers. And when they like to tease me a lot, okay? When I moved to California, they started calling me Beverly Hills. I guess, you know, yeah, and Miss Hollywood, and Miss Hollywood, yeah, they call me Miss Hollywood, okay? And then when I became a Christian, they started calling me Sister Beverly. They just got a kick out of that, okay? But they really didn't take me very seriously, but I just kept praying for them and kept sharing the gospel with them. Now, I'm sorry to say, they prayed a prayer, okay? But I never saw any fruit, spiritual fruit, in their lives, you know? And the scripture says we're known by our fruit. So I just continued. I lost one brother, but I continue to pray for my other brother that he would really come to the Lord. Okay, so now my parents. I didn't get along very good with my dad. To tell you the truth, I really did not like my dad very much. He was not really a nice guy, okay? So I get this call saying, from my sister Jacqueline, you know, Dad's in the hospital and I need you to go to the hospital with me. And I'm like, I don't want to go. She said, no, he's our dad and you should go. You should come, okay? So I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's in the hospital and he's sick. Now, he wasn't very nice when he wasn't sick. So I'm like, what am I getting ready to walk into, you know? So we go to the hospital and walk into the hospital. My dad is sitting up in the hospital bed with a big smile on his face, looking just like a little boy. And I'm like, whoa, what is this, you know? So he shared with us how the hospital chaplain had come in and read the scriptures with him and shared the gospel and had led my dad to the Lord. So he passed later, but I had enough time to spend with my dad and kind of like, you know, develop a bond and really come to understand that my dad was the way he was because he didn't grow up in a Christian home either, you know. So the only one that's holding out now is my mom. So get a call. Your mom's in the hospital. You need to come home right away. So I jumped on the plane, but before I left, I called all of my Christian friends and asked, can you be praying for my mom? She isn't saved, and she's in the hospital. My mom had a stroke. So, you know, we went and, you know, did whatever we could for her and, you know, talked to her more about the Lord and everything. My sister Jacqueline, whenever she would visit my mom in the hospital, she would always turn the TV on to the Christian television station before she left. So my mom was just hearing the gospel over and over, you know. So, yeah, my mom eventually did pray to receive Christ. But pray for my mom because she's not really in a strong Bible-teaching church, and sometimes she doesn't. My mom's going to be 89 this month. So sometimes she doesn't get stuff, you know, quite straight. But whenever we talk, I'm always sharing with her what the Bible says. If she says something that's not biblical, I say, no, Mom, this is what the Bible really says. Sometimes she gets kind of upset with me, but, hey, she loves me and she puts up with me. But he didn't stop there, okay? He saved the best for last. And I hope I can get through this. I have an awesome daughter and a son and a precious daughter-in-law that all love the Lord. I told you I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But with God's help, we're committed to starting a new family legacy, one of building strong Christian homes filled with the love of God, where children can grow up learning who God is and learning to trust Him. And please know that my testimony, this is the condensed version, okay? This didn't happen overnight. It was over a period of years, and I know that many of you are praying for unsaved loved ones, you know, and just keep praying. If they don't pay attention, just keep praying. If they laugh at you, just keep praying, you know. If they don't want to hear, just keep praying. Get Bibles in their hands, and before you know it, somebody's going to get saved, you know. Why don't we just close here in prayer? Yeah. Father God, we love you because you loved us first, Lord, and because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, we have the capacity to love one another with a love that the world needs to see in action. So, Lord, we pray for our church and for the women that are gathered here that we would visibly be united with love, first to you and then to one another.